Hey guys, welcome to the Hippie Dyslexic Homestead. Today we are going to discuss some updates and a fire. Yeah, that's right. I had a fire and I'd like to tell you more about it. So join me today on my podcast to listen to more. Well, welcome back to the Hippie Dyslexic Homestead. Wow, a lot has happened since the last time I got on here. So I'm just going to give you guys a couple of updates and kind of the new vision moving forward. So one thing you may notice is my audio doesn't sound as great as it used to. And that is because we no longer have a place to do audio. I don't have internet any longer as of right now. And I don't have a computer set up to record and, well, just here's what's going on. About 3 weeks ago, we had a house fire. And if you want to check it out, go to my YouTube channel. I will link it below. And I kind of show the damage a little bit and talk about that story and what happened. So after everything is said and done, we are living in a RV. So things have changed. We just recently got electric hookup and water and sewage. We're going to stay here on our property. But yeah, this is very raw material. There's no editing. There's no anything. And yeah, life just looks a little bit different, I would say, especially with this crazy world going on. Oh my goodness, I feel so heartbroken by everybody. Of course, I've always felt very sad for anybody who is suffering. So definitely I'm thankful to be able to garden and to have more of a homestead approach. But I also feel like every time I get on here or every other time, I'm like, oh, I have a new vision. Is that like a dyslexic thing or this my crazy ADHD thing? Or is life just keep happening to me? Like, I'm not really for sure which one it is, but I'm like, okay, we're like on episode 8. And I think I've said that like 3 or 4 times. Like, oh, this is our new vision moving forward. Well, guess what? Life happens. Life happens all the time to every single one of us. And we just can't let that slow us down. Or maybe it slows us down for a little bit, but then we just get back up and we just do it again. So yeah, my audio probably doesn't sound as amazing. And I'm not really going to be able to go through and edit. Even though I am using Anchor and they have some editing tools, I can't figure it out. I'm not really that techie. And this particular thing is a little bit more hard for me, I feel like, than the other thing I was using, which was Audacity. That was just a little bit more easier. So I am hoping to get some headphones connected to my phone to make it maybe a little bit more streamlined. But it is what it is. So my vision moving forward is still going to be the same thing. I mean, we're going to be talking about dyslexia and ADHD and trying to homestead, but this time it's going to be about cleaning up after a fire and maybe even rebuilding and having animals and just living in an RV. I mean, like, it is, like, we've had an RV before for vacations. It was really, really, really tiny. And now this is like a fifth wheel. And yeah, things are just a little bit different. We're trying to figure it all out. Actually, interestingly, the last episode I had did, which was the day of the fire, it was about all the things that I felt like I needed to live comfortably on a homestead, like the cooking utensils and just different stuff that was like, oh, these are the things that I need to like sustain in the kitchen and to live economically as well. And I'm still carrying some of those over, but there's some things that obviously I can't carry over into an RV. So one of the things I had mentioned was like an Instant Pot. I still have an Instant Pot. The other was my Vitamix. Well, I don't really have room for a Vitamix, so I do have a little bit of a blender. I got a small blender just to do smoothies, but it's not going to be able to do my grains. So that might look a little bit different. My dehydrator. I loved my dehydrator. I used it for so many things. I think I could probably dehydrate in my air fryer. We got the air fryer again. And I will link those. It's like the flip top flat one, but I think I can dehydrate on that, but I'm not really going to be able to do large amounts. So it's just going to look a little different, kind of moving forward, I guess, on how my life is and all the stumbling blocks, because I do feel like I keep stumbling upon things, like, you know, I don't know, it's just different, and maybe it's not really different, it's just a new angle, perhaps is what I should say. And we still have our chickens. Luckily, nobody was harmed as far as the animals. I was able to get everybody out. My husband and my son were gone. The two firefighters, and my son's a junior firefighter. My husband's a fire captain paramedic, but they were gone when it happened. My daughter was sleeping on the couch, and so I was home cleaning up after dinner. And it was just crazy. I guess I should maybe tell you guys a story now. I mean, why not? You could definitely go to the YouTube channel, and I do have video of the aftermath. So basically, it was a Sunday afternoon. We had just finished eating lingua tacos, which is like cow tongue tacos. And my son had to go to work. So we finished eating. My daughter had just finished coming back from where she volunteers at a horse rescue. She helps take care of horses and helps with training and things like that. And she'd got back. She had just taken a shower. She was super tired. So after dinner, she wanted to take a nap. My husband took our son to work. And I was expecting him back. I think it was like about 5-ish. I was like, okay, he should be coming back and I'm going to work on dessert. I'm doing laundry, you know, like the whole normal routine, right? Sunday routine. And the fire alarm or detector, fire smoke detector, whatever you call it, went off in my bedroom. And that morning we had just changed the batteries because it was chirping. It was acting like it needed new batteries. So I just figured, oh, maybe it has dust in it. I didn't really think anything of it. And I opened my door and there was a fire on my floor. So I was like, okay, stomp it out. Luckily I had my boots on and I was stomping it out and it just kept coming back. And so the dogs were going crazy and my daughter was like, what's going on? You know, she woke up and I was like, okay, baby girl, I want you to get the dogs outside. And she put them outside in the back and she came back and I think I even told her, go grab some water. And she came back with a gallon of water and threw water on it and it just went crazy. It spread. And so I said, okay, I need you to get the ferret and the rabbit outside. Okay. And I want you to stay outside. And so she ran outside and I was stomping. I went and actually grabbed like something to cover my face because the smoke was getting kind of bad. And I wrapped my face around like a mask. I don't remember. Something clothy. And I went and I was like stomping it out again. I threw a blanket on it and I was stomping, stomping. And in that process, my phone fell out into like the fire. And so I was not going to reach in that fire. So I went and grabbed a bunch of a big bag of flour and I threw flour on it and it didn't really do much of anything. It kind of put it out for a minute, but it just kept popping up my floor just kept popping up with fire. And so I thought, okay, this is getting out of control. This is like really bad. Like I can't seem to get it out. So I ran upstairs and I grabbed the gecko and ran back downstairs, and I told my daughter, okay, I want you to go. I was like, oh, I was like, go call 911. Where's your phone? And she's like, my phone is in the car with daddy. And I was like, okay, I need you to run to a neighbor's house. Now, we do live pretty far apart from our neighbor's house, but luckily we do have two, like, in, like, you know, within a half a mile. And so she ran to get them. And I went back upstairs and grabbed some stuff. I just tried to grab things I think, oh my goodness, my kids would want, you know. Obviously, there were so many things, and thinking about it now, I was like, oh, I should have just, like, opened the windows up and started chunking things, you know, like, all of the Legos, or the books, or, you know, the pictures, or art, and toys from their childhood, just all kinds of things I was thinking. But I just grabbed a bag and just started putting things in there, and I ran it back outside, and I ran back in the house and grabbed another couple of bags, and you know, brought it outside again and into the truck. And I ran back inside one last time. And the fire was just so, so bad. I could barely go in there into the house, but I was able to get to the front door. And right by the front door, there was some of my children's baby pictures. Now, this was like before we had you know, media, like, you know, like always everywhere. Like, you know, there's, it's not saved anywhere on my computer, you know, or on Shutterfly or anything like that. It's not there. So I ran and grabbed those, just a couple there, and I ran back in, or ran it back into the truck, and the fire was so hot at that point in time that I needed to move the vehicle because, like, it was like I was the glass was popping and everything, and so I backed up the truck a little bit and I ran to into the garage to get the kittens because our cat had five kittens in there, so I ran into the garage and grabbed, opened the garage doors open, make sure I could get out. And ran, grabbed her and her five kittens. And on my way out, my husband was like, he, you know, obviously had seen it and he ran and he was like, "Where's Zoe? You know, where's Zoe?" And I was like, "She went to go get help. She went to go get help." And he was like, "Okay." And our back, where the dogs were at, the gate, it was locked. So we kept it locked. And so I was like, "Oh my gosh, we have to get the dogs out." And so we were getting them out. I had to go pick the kittens in the truck because they were going crazy with Mama Cat, and Mama jumped out and she took off running into the woods, and it was really crazy and scary. Their fire was, I mean, the whole house was on fire at that point in time. And we got the dogs out when we realized one of them was missing, our baby, our German Shepherd, our youngest one. And so we run into the back and we're calling his name, and we can't see him in the backyard, so the back door was locked. We always kept it locked and like out of form of a habit, and we broke it open. My husband, you know, busted through it, and we're calling for him, but we couldn't go in it at that point in time because the fire was so bad. It was already in the back of the house and with black smoke, and we're yelling for Rucker, and we're just calling for him, like, "Come on, buddy," you know, hoping that he would come, 'cause I didn't know if maybe he ex didn't, you know, maybe he didn't get out, you know, outside of the house. Which would be hard because usually he's always with somebody. And so at that point in time, our daughter and our neighbors running to the house and saying, "We've seen him," basically. They're like, you know, my daughter was yelling, and Rucker had jumped the fence to run with Zoe across to the neighbor's house. So luckily every animal was saved at that point in time, except for the snake that was in the garage. And the firefighters had came, and I had remembered our snake was upstairs in the garage, and I told my husband, and he ran upstairs into the garage to get it. So our garage was separated from our house. It was about 12 feet, maybe 15 feet apart. But the garage had started to catch on fire. And the house fell, I think, I don't even remember. Like, it was pretty quick, within like 50, 20 minutes, I think. I think the firefighters got there, like, I think I get 5:16, 5:15, 5:20 or something like that. I mean, and the house basically was engulfed and collapsed, and so there was no saving the house at all. And then the garage caught fire as well. And you know, one thing that, I mean, that was really hard was, I think that day, that night, I was in shock. Like, I was absolutely in shock. I had was just in awe, I think. And I was like, "Oh man, you think that's gonna buff out? Like, this sucks." It didn't hit me until the next morning, and I think I cried all day, and it just hit me so hard, and it was very difficult. Very, very difficult. And then but that night my daughter had said to me, she's like, "Mama, riches aren't here on earth, they're in heaven." And that was really hard, and you know, she was right. And yes, lives are the most important things, and that's what we need to celebrate, you know, our lives. Things can be replaced, but it's still hard, and it's not the house, it's not the dishes, it's not the materials, it's not the it has nothing to do with that. What is the hardest, the very, very hardest to lose are all of the pictures, all of the memories that you can't just buy again, right? It's the kids' art projects. It's my son, you know, he had wrote a story, like when we lived in Alaska, and it was the cutest story, and I went and published it, and we were in the process of trying to figure that out, and all that was lost, all that is gone. Like my kids' drawings and art projects, and all of that. You know, my son went through cybersecurity, all of his awards and certificates, all my daughter's stuff. Those types of things are gone and are lost. And those are the things that are the hardest. And so I have several different things I've been trying to help others. Like, okay, this is what I want you to learn from, basically, through this is one, your kids are in your different projects. And while they are like, oh yeah, that's cute. And you may not even think about it, but take pictures of those things, put it on Shutterfly or put it on your Google Drive or whatever, you know, wherever you're saving your pictures at. So that way you can look back and you can go, oh wow, look at this memory that we had, you know, look at, you know, your artwork, how far it's came, you know, or look at this, you know, story you wrote, like those things that you can't necessarily get back quickly. Put them, you know, take a picture and store them for later use just in case. And the other thing I keep telling people is to check their insurance and make sure it's keeping up with inflation, because ours didn't, and I didn't know that you're supposed to call and check and make sure that it is in current prices and not the time you got your policy. So even ours was only 18 months ago, from our, you know, give or take 18 months old, the inflation rate skyrocket. I mean, I think we bought our house like $100 a square foot, and to rebuild it or to replace it, it's $250 to $300 a square foot right now. Now that could change 6 months or in a year. So the way that insurance works is, at least ours did, is said, okay, you have a replacement cost of up to this amount. $100 a square foot basically is kind of what it was. Maybe $150 a square foot. And we obviously didn't have enough money to rebuild. So we're not getting replacements. Now we could have done one or two things. We could put that towards our mortgage, or all of that money had to go to our mortgage company because we didn't own our house. So either it goes to your mortgage, to basically your mortgage says, okay, you can rebuild, but we're going to be kind of in charge of the funds and we'll let it go. And it has to be approvals and basically like you're a middleman situation, or you can put it towards your mortgage work. If it pays it off, that's great. If not, like in our situation, we had to put paying it off now, our mortgage off, and then we're going to rebuild basically as our own contractor, just kind of save money. And so eventually that's what we're going to do. We're going to be learning about being my own contractor to build our own house. And we're looking at different ways to rebuild and different approaches to save money. So that's the way that we're choosing to do. But, you know, like I tell everybody, check to be sure. So also your insurance, it usually says, okay, you have a percentage of whatever your house was insured for, you get percentage up for your property. So that also doesn't increase with inflation. So, you know, if I bought my husband a shirt and it was like $10, $15, like 2-3 years ago, of course, there's enough depreciation and everything, but that same shirt cost $30 or $40 to replace. That doesn't, you know, go up. You know, that's just an example, right? I mean, I'm just giving examples. Luckily for our insurance, we did not have to do an itemized list. So that's one thing, is since I think ours was a complete total loss, we didn't have to itemize every single thing in our house and try to remember and then say, okay, this is what I think we had, and then the depreciation, and then that's what they would give us. It was like, okay, here's what you're insured for, here's the money. Of course, again, we had a complete loss. There was nothing saved. Take a look at my YouTube channel and you'll see there's nothing, there was nothing absolutely that was savable. I mean, I showed somebody a picture recently and they said, well, where's the house? All I see is ashes. And I'm like, yeah, that was it. Our foundation wasn't even saved. Like, there was nothing left. It burned so hot so fast, and it went down so, so fast. I mean, nothing. There's a couple of metal pieces that we were able to save, and, you know, we're going to maybe turn that into a art piece or, you know, do something kind of fun with that. But other than that, I mean, it even cracked some of our cast iron pans. Like, seriously, that hot. So, you know, that's kind of what happened with us, and we're moving on with it. We're trying to be optimistic. There are days where it's good and there are days where it's very, very hard. I'm not going to lie. As far as my dyslexia, I feel like I've missed 2 or 3 weeks of my life. My dyslexia is so bad. I'm getting everything backwards. I'm saying everything incorrectly. Like, you know, it's just been very, very bad. After the fire, I think that first week or 2 weeks, I just could not read. Like, I was reading and I couldn't comprehend what I was reading. Like, my brain was just so overdone. Like, I was fried. So anytime that we go through, you know, stress with dyslexics, you know, our brains, it is affected by it quite badly. So over this next weeks or months or whatever it is, as I am learning our new life in our RV, but so blessed to have my family with me, we are going to move on. And I may have some issues with speaking, and I can't go back and edit those right now. So, you know, it is what it is. You're getting just like the real me, like, hey, this is me. So I hope you guys have a fantastic day, and I'm going to try to continue to keep you guys up with everything that's going on, and try to be more, of course, this was what I said last time too, right? Being more intentional. And we're going to talk about intentional living through these next episodes, and just some things I'm continuing to learn through this. And so whether you are homesteading, thinking about homesteading, just want to know how you homestead with dyslexia, or maybe you want to learn about dyslexia, whatever it is that you are here for, I really appreciate you. Like, you have no idea how much I appreciate you. And if you think that this channel could help somebody, please be sure to, you know, send them my way. Help get some podcast subscribers. I don't know how the analytics work or whatever it is, but if, you know, if someone types in dyslexia on a podcast app, the more people I think I have or am rated or whatever, then I'm more likely to pop up. So I really do hope this is enjoyable for you guys, or, you know, learning something. I am definitely enjoying doing it. And I love just talking about dyslexia and homesteading. So, hey, why not put them together, right? All right, guys, have a great day. And I hope you guys stay safe, and hold and love your loved ones. And be sure to check on your insurance, and be sure to take pictures of those cute things that you want to cherish. Have a great day, guys. Bye.